North America's finest baseball host, joining me on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Wow, I never thought that I would be compared in the same sentence to San Diego.
Right? That's high praise. You're welcome.
It is. You know what? I was lucky enough that the 1 year that I've traveled full-time with the Blue Jays, they did a series in San Diego, and there's no other city that all the beat guys and I, when we were walking around and whatever, grabbing lunch before a game or something, no other city, we all said, you know what? If there's ever an opportunity to move here and work here, this would be the place.
Yeah. There's no Major League Baseball team in Honolulu, so yeah.
Right.
San Diego's as good as it gets, I guess. The park there is so great, too. It's everything.
Everything about it is great, yeah.
Really good. And I wish I was there right now instead of staring out the window like the sun set at 2:04 apparently today. So whatever. Screw it. So, Mike, I guess you were practicing for your next career as a TMZ reporter because you staked out Russell Martin at the airport. Have you ever done that before?
Nope. First airport ambush ever.
How'd it go?
It was pretty good. You know what? We were waiting, and the ferry came in from the island airport. It takes like 3 minutes to cross the tiny little strip of water in between the terminal and the, the on-land portion of the airport. And I was looking at the escalator, the people coming down and waiting. And there's Steve Paikin from TVO's Studio 2. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. So I said hello to Steve. And then Russ Martin came down with his very small entourage, and he was gracious enough to answer 3 or 4 minutes worth of questions.
Was there anybody else staked out with you, or is it just you?
Just me.
You had the inside track on what flight he was on.
Sometimes you get some information and you act upon it.
Huh. Cool. So that was a fun little media conference. They're not press conferences anymore. Media conference that he had last week with Alex Anthopoulos. Lots of French thrown around. I guess if the Blue Jays are trying to appeal to that Montreal fan base by playing exhibition games at the Big O before the season, how about grabbing another guy who speaks French? I wonder if there's actually going to be like a Montreal beat reporter that covers this team all of next year.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me now. There are, 60 or 70 games, I think, on TVA in French.
Yeah.
So it would not surprise me. We have, there's a Francophone reporter who's around a lot. I think he works for CBC French. I would assume he's going to be a full-timer now, and maybe some people from Montreal will come in as well. It's a huge benefit to them, and it looked like he was just having an absolute blast answering questions in French.
Yeah, I don't think he had to do that too much in Pittsburgh, likely. I know we've talked about him and the speculation before, and I think we both had the inkling that, you know, despite the fact that the Blue Jays were reportedly rumored to be interested in Pablo Sandoval, it didn't seem like that was going to happen. It seemed like this was the legit rumor. Turned out to be true. I think they were in on Victor Martinez, and they would have liked to have him, but he was, and the Tigers were pretty set on bringing him back. But he ends up in a Blue Jays uniform, and clearly, Mike, I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize that this was not their biggest need this offseason, catcher. They had a pretty good one last year, at least offensively, in Deonner Navarro. But anytime you can add a guy like Russell Martin and whatever, the tangibles and intangibles, I mean, he did things on the field that you can actually quantify last year that were pretty impressive and that he's done his entire career, but it's the off-the-field stuff that he adds as well. But that being said, you've added this piece. There's still a long way to go for Alex Anthopoulos, in my opinion, and I don't think he's close to done, but I feel like the work has only just begun for him this offseason.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that, and it continues to amaze me how much reaction there is with every move the Blue Jays make, as though that's going to be it. They're finished. There's still, 3 months of off-season left, and two major free agents have signed, period, in Russ Martin and Victor Martinez. The Blue Jays have got half of the major free agents who've signed already.
Yeah.
There's a lot more work to do. They have a ton of flexibility. They have a ton of movable parts in trade. And they've got some money to spend. I mean, they may have as much as $25 or $30 million to spend.
And maybe more if they want to go over what they had last year, and depending on who they move out as well.
Right. I mean, that 25 or 30 will take them over what they had last year. But if Jay Happ and DeAndre Navarro are going the other way, and Navarro most certainly is, then, you know, you're at $30 million and you're basically pretty close to treading water. There are needs to address, and those needs can be addressed with what they have on hand as trade bait, and, you know, getting creative and maybe pulling in a free agent or two. I think it's going to be a very busy off season, and it's going to be a very, very interesting off season. And it indeed has really only just begun. There's so much more work to do.
I'm with you. I think there's no question Navarro is going to be gone. If not by opening, if not by the beginning
well
of spring,
before opening
yeah.
Day.
Well, that I meant yeah. if not by the opening of spring training, certainly by opening day, he's going to be gone.
I think he's gone before the new year.
Yeah,
and maybe even before the end of the month.
Even okay, so if that happens, if Josh Tolley's your backup catcher, that's kind of a lousy allocation of roster spots too, because we know Josh Tolley isn't anything offensively, right? Like, he can take the occasional walk.
I don't know if we know that. I mean, and I think that's kind of been taken for granted that Josh Tolley is an awful offensive player. When you look at when he was with the Mets, he was fine offensively. The walk was his greatest weapon.
Yes.
But he was fine offensively. And I remember this from the discussion I had with Tolley when he was the Blue Jay a day on our Blue Jay a Day pregame show during the playoffs. Looking at his career, pitchers that he's faced most often, he's done really, really well against. And it seems like, you hope Russ Martin's going to catch 125 games. But it seems like the more work Tolley gets, the better he is. And, you know, there any backup catcher the Blue Jays bring in will likely be brought in specifically to catch R.A. Dickey and maybe catch another 15 games over the course of the season.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that being Josh Tolley.
And just like J.P. Arencibia said he could catch R.A. Dickey, and that obviously didn't work out, you've heard Russell Martin say, He can try. And he has what he says is some experience. And certainly to put Russell Martin, J.P. Arencibia in the same conversation as defensive catchers is ridiculous. They're nowhere near the same. So maybe there's some credence. What if Martin can catch that thing?
It would be great if Martin can catch that thing. But I think it would be great for the playoffs if he can catch that. Because you don't want, I mean, you look back in the years the Atlanta Braves glory years in the mid 90s when they were in the playoffs all the time, and Greg Maddux would not have Javier Lopez catch him.
Yeah.
So you had to use Eddie Perez every time Greg Maddux pitched in the playoffs. You're losing a huge offensive spot. Same thing, Mike Mussina would never let Jorge Posada catch him. So whenever Messina's pitching for the Yankees in the playoffs, you got to use the backup catcher. You would love to be able to go into the playoffs and be able to use Russ Martin every day behind the plate. Even if Tolley catches 80% of his starts over the course of the regular season, to have Martin be comfortable with him and able to do it would be just a huge, huge benefit to the Blue Jays.
Talking to Mike Wilner, are you all right with Torii Hunter maybe for a year in left field?
Yeah, not especially. I mean, I'd rather go with Andy Dirks and John Mayberry if I'm
really
going to go with Torii Hunter. Yeah, Torii Hunter is
he had a pretty good offensive year last year.
He had a .312 on base against righties.
Right.
And he's going to be 40 this year. He's no longer a Gold Glove caliber defender, though he's still solid. He is a below average offensive corner outfielder. And, you know, he'd be great in the room. He's wonderful. Everybody loves him. But I think that, you know, if you can bring Torii Hunter in and hit him eight, that's okay.
He hit 17 home runs and had a slugging of .446 in a ballpark that's not a very good hitter's ballpark.
Yeah, .312 on base against righties.
Well, .320 overall, so I mean, it was pretty even. Righties left.
No, it's about .344, I think, against lefties. I guess
it was smaller sample size.
See them that much. Yeah. He's a guy who the last few years has really only been a real offensive force against left-handed pitching, and the Blue Jays are plenty right-handed enough now as it is with Bautista and Edwin and Martin and no Lind and no Navarro. I would like to see, I'd love to see a left-handed swinger in that spot, but more importantly, I'd just really like to see a very, very good offensive player, and Torrey Hunter's not that anymore.
Is it, I mean, am I shutting the door too quickly on Melky Cabrera? Because there is a school of thought that this Torrey Hunter rumor is maybe not solely, this is the reason that it, maybe there's some actual validity to it, but it's to put a little pressure on Melky's agent, his representative, and getting a deal done before the winter meetings. Are you hearing that? Do you think that's a possibility?
No, the Jays, as a general rule, don't float that stuff. Don't do that to try to, whatever purpose. They never make any sort of comment on or off the record about who they're interested as far as free agent goes. I think that that's coming from agents. And just like a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays are going to be used by everybody now that they're showing that they're spending some dough. That whoever's got a guy out there is going to float the Blue Jays just to try to get some competition going and to get some interest drummed up. And there's a chance that they wouldn't mind having him. I'm sure they wouldn't mind having him at their number. I don't know what that number is, but I think that they could do better.
Then Melky Cabrera?
No, sorry.
Oh, then Torrey Hunter, yes.
To try to get Melky coming. But yeah, I don't think they could do better than Melky Cabrera as far as what's available out there on the market. But I do think that I don't think this is happening with the Blue Jays. I think this is happening with a lot of fans and observers. We're moving into an area where they're really, really, really overvaluing Melky. He's not as good as people are painting him to be. He's very good, but he's far, 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 far from irreplaceable.
Yep.
So I think people have to really be careful with the thinking, oh, they can't lose Melky. What would they do without him?
Yeah, there's guys that provide not the same amount of offense, but different types and maybe better. I mean, Nori Aoki is going to have a higher on base, and he's going to steal some bases, play better defense.
Right, and he's going to cost, you know, a third of what Melky is going to cost, or maybe half. I mean, if you could bring Melky back at a reasonable number and you know, it fits into that lineup perfectly, he's a switch hitter, he does a reasonable enough job in left field, he's a great fit for them. There's no question that he's a great fit for them, but he's certainly not a guy without whom they would be lost.
What about this John Lester stuff, Mike? What are you hearing about it? And is he a guy that is worth giving and breaking your rule and going to a 6-year? Because it seems like if you want to be in on him, you have to go 6 because you're going to be out if you don't.
Yeah, no. For me, no. I don't think any starting pitcher ever should get 6 years. I think 5 is a big stretch for a starting pitcher. And no matter who they are, no matter what their track record is, these guys are designed to break, get hurt, have off years. No matter, you know, you look almost over the course of the last 10 years at who the best starting pitchers are, who everyone would have said, yeah, we're completely comfortable giving this guy a 10-year deal. This
Tim
is
Lincecum.
How good he is. Sure, Tim Lincecum. Justin Verlander coming off that MVP year, would you not have given Justin Verlander whatever he wanted?
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't work out. No, John Lester's had bad years, not many, but it's just not a good idea.
There's also been some talk last couple of weeks, Mike, about the possibility of the Blue Jays extending Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. They have a couple years left. I believe it's a team option for 2016, but those are clearly going to be picked up unless something weird happens, like an injury or whatever. And keeping them around past 2016, it's a big season for both of those guys, because I'm of the mind that if the Blue Jays get off to a very difficult start again, and if it's, you know, not in the realm of possibility they make the playoffs at the deadline, both those guys are going to be dangled because they're going to be worth so much, and you don't want to lose them for nothing the following year. But it's kind of decision time for both of those guys, Mike.
For the guys or for the team?
Well, for both, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? This is the winter where you've got to start thinking about it, or at least the All-Star break of next year. And maybe that's probably the more rational place where you start discussing an extension for Bautista and Edwin? Is it the All-Star break next year? Edwin signed his first one at the break a couple of years ago. And look, they're still producing, and there's no reason not to think that they're not going to be able to do it for another 3 years beyond this one. I don't know that either one of them would be interested in taking a 1 or 2 year extension, especially since they've both been paid so much below market the last few years. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what, if anything, can be worked out with them.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here, Sportsnet today, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, just to get back to Russell Martin for a second, Mike, I didn't really talk about the intangible stuff. And I know we both love it, but there is a thing to it. I don't know how much of a thing it is, and you've certainly spent more time in that clubhouse than I have, but there was something to the fact that it wasn't, and as John Gibbons says, the most close-knit clubhouse in all of Major League Baseball. How much of this offseason is dedicated to changing that?
Not as much as I would have thought.
Really?
It was a terrible clubhouse last year. Towards the end of the season. Yeah, there were people around there who said to me that it was the most dysfunctional clubhouse they'd ever been around.
Wow.
In Major League Baseball.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Well, but you're not that bright.
No, I'm pretty stupid.
Or terribly observant.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, but it was pretty bad. The thing is, I don't know how much you can change it because you have very, very powerful personalities in there in Jose Bautista and Jose Reyes. And they're not negative forces by any means, but they're very, very strong personalities. And I don't know that a guy like Russ Martin is going to be able to exert his influence all that much. But they have, the personnel changes that have happened so far this offseason are really will change the complexion of some of that clubhouse. Not having Colby Rasmus back, moving Anthony Gosen out of Lynn, that'll change things up a little bit, and maybe Martin can help change other things up a little bit. But I'm not a huge believer in the intangibles. I think the tangibles are much more important, and I think also that if the Blue Jays had won one more game a month over the course of the season, nobody would be talking about the clubhouse. Nobody would have any problem with anything because they would have hosted the wild card game and they would have been in the playoffs. So I think that not succeeding kind of shines a brighter light on those things, and winning hides it a little, or at least it doesn't hide it. It removes it because you're winning and you're happy. So I think really that's what it comes down to. And I don't know that Russell Martin can exert the kind of influence that will turn a team that can't win into a team that can. But I think that this is a team that can, and he will certainly help.
Has your opinion on this flip-flopped as far as how dysfunctional the clubhouse was last year? Because I don't remember you saying it was that bad last year. Has something come to light between the end of last year and now that has led you to believe that?
No, I don't know that I ever really talked about it that much.
Maybe not.
I did hear towards the end of the season how bad it was. But the truth of the matter is, my opinion hasn't changed about August. And the fact that there's some suggestion that the fact that the Blue Jays stood pat at the trade deadline led to them falling out of the playoff race, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think anybody gave up or anybody quit or anything like that, regardless of the dynamics of the clubhouse.
Michael, thank you very much for this. Go back to the airport. Maybe you can go to YYZ though and get like a big time movie star or something like that. Maybe that's your next calling.
It's a lot closer to home than Billy Bishop is, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. Be easier for you. So yeah. Enjoy that. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.